Good evening. My name is Larry Kramer, and I'm the dean here at Stanford Law School. It's my pleasure and honor to welcome you to this 1,944th stated meeting of the Academy on the challenges of mass incarceration. That is to say, it's not the 1,944th meeting on mass incarceration. The 1,944th meeting, and it is on the challenges of mass incarceration. We have a quite stellar panel for you this evening, but I'll leave it to Leslie Berlewitz to introduce them in a minute, and she will also moderate the panel. I just wanted to take a few moments to welcome you all here on behalf of the law school, which is really delighted to host this event, and I'm also just going to take a couple of minutes to set the stage. So before I was dean, actually, when I was still doing scholarship, the scholarship I did focused on constitutional history with an emphasis on the founding and the early American Republic. We're still a very young country compared to many with our brief, 200-plus years of history, and we don't actually have that many institutions with really impressive historical pedigrees. I still remember my first trip to Edinburgh, where there's a part of the university called the New University that was considerably older than the United States as a nation. So one of the thrills of being elected to the Academy was joining an organization whose charter members included John and Sam Adams, and whose earliest inductees were the likes of Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, and many others. But it's not just this historical pedigree that makes the Academy such an interesting and important organization. What makes it special is the mission behind its original creation, and the way it has supported that mission continually across two centuries. So the mission, it's worth restating, is, and I'm quoting here from the charter, in fine, I love that, in fine, in fine, to cultivate every art and science which may tend to advance the interest, honor, dignity, and happiness of a free, independent, and virtuous people. And the countless ways in which the Academy has advanced this mission range from simply standing as testimony to the importance of research, science, and art, to promoting work in nearly every field and discipline, to helping disseminate knowledge and understanding, to engaged efforts to preserve the values and practices needed for knowledge and the creation of knowledge, and so that they can remain free from the forces that would demean or distort understanding for political or other ends. Meetings like this are a wonderful example of the role the Academy plays in helping inform the public. Few topics generate more interest or are more important than those surrounding the enforcement of crime and the handling of criminals. And one brief aside here, it's why we here at Stanford Law School have a deep commitment to building a strong program in the area, as you'll see tonight on our panel. But the importance of crime as central to the definition of a country and its politics has almost always been true. Matters of criminal law and punishment generated as much interest and debate when our nation was founded as they do today. And those debates are important, for the way in which a society handles those who violate its rules provides an important benchmark and test of the society's morality. How we deal with crime and punishment go far to defining who we are and what kind of people we want to be. There's a tendency today to throw up one's hands and assume that studying the criminal justice system is a waste of time, that public debate about crime is pointless because the political system is a ratchet when it comes to these sorts of issues. We only ever increase punishment. We only ever make sentences harsher. We only ever treat the convicted worse, think less about support and rehabilitation, and so on. And if you look at the record of just the past 30 or 40 years, you might think that's true for public debates, or perhaps I should speak more narrowly and talk about political debates, about crime have been rather one-sided and unidirectional. But even I'm old enough to remember the time before what I like to refer to as that Dirty Harry moment, when things seemed to turn in the late 1960s, and before which things were different and the debate was less reflexive, which I think only shows that it has been different and so can be different. And I do think this may well be one of those moments where we have a window of opportunity and the reflexive assumptions of the past are softened enough to make us open to change. I don't actually mean by this to suggest that any particular change is right or wrong. I mean merely to say that the time seems right to have a real discussion and debate again, because we may have arrived at one of those moments when new policy or better policy can actually be made. There will, of course, still be a lot of disagreement about what that policy is or should be, but It's a time to study and learn and see what we can do, and it's at times like these that the scholarly community matters. For we in the Academy have an important role to play in making sure that the moment isn't wasted. That entails more than just doing research and just writing papers. It means talking to and working with practitioners in the criminal justice community, talking to and working with government and law enforcement officials, helping to build consensus and craft new policies for everything from police investigations to trial rights to prison reform, sentencing, reentry policy, voting rights, juvenile justice, and on and on. The Academy is a place where people from all sides and with all views can come together to engage in a conversation. It's a place where no one will shout, "You lie." And if they do, where that would hopefully be followed by debate and discussion to show why it's so or not so. We offer a sanctuary from overt politics and a forum for debate that, if not exactly disinterested, is at least open-minded. We should be worrying today about the increasing tendency of people on all sides to limit themselves to hearing only from others with whom they already agree and to dismiss those with whom they disagree as ill-motivated. As scholars, it's our obligation to rise above that, and that is something that the American Academy of Arts and Sciences has always stood for and promoted. So with that said, let me turn the podium over to Leslie Berlewitz, the Academy's CEO and William T. Golden Chair.